Welcome to the Meat and Potatoes Podcast. We're here with Jessica Klodnicki, who is the CEO of KT Tape. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Garrett.
Thank you for being here. And we've got some cool samples. And we're talking about all of our ailments and what we'll get to all of that. But we're going to just call it KT from now on.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. So KT stands for Kinesiology Therapy, but we're most known for our kinesiology tape product.
Very cool. And it is this, right? Like you tape it to your body.
You tape it to your body. Yeah. Basically, it's drug-free pain relief. So there's no drugs or anything in here. It's just an elastic sports tape that comes in these little strips. And it basically mimics the elasticity of your skin. And you tape it on the body part where you have an ailment, joint muscle pain. And really, just the easiest way to describe it is it stretches with the skin, stretches with the body, unlike rigid standard athletic tape. And then it slightly lifts the skin and the fascia, and it allows more blood to flow underneath. So it promotes pain relief and healing faster. So it can be used for preventative measures. So I went for my first fat bike ride of the season yesterday and taped up my knee, and it'll stave off the pain. Or if you overdo it, you can use it for recovery, muscle soreness. So I overdid it on the weights this morning, and I have some on my quads right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's before or after still does the same thing.
Yeah, before, during, and after. So you'll see it. You know, most people are probably familiar. They've seen it on athletes. So athletes will put it on preventatively if they've got, you know, nagging pains, not just athletes. But you can put it on if you have a nagging issue that flares up, and it'll help prevent it. Or again, you can do it after the fact if you've overdone it somewhere. I get little wrist pains if I do too much yoga, and I'll put the tape on after the fact. So kind of before, during, and after. In fact, our new vision going forward is to help people prepare, perform, and recover. And that's with both the tape, but we also have some non-tape products. We have things like pain relief gel. We have massage tools. So we want to be there for that whole journey.
Very cool. Yeah. And what's cool about this is a lot of folks, even if they're not sports fans, have seen it during the Olympics or football. And, you know, those folks are getting paid millions of dollars and don't want to lose their starting spot. But for those that don't get paid $1 million, that just don't want to have aches and pains and don't want to gracefully slide into retirement.
Totally.
It helps.
Yeah. So, I mean, we started... I should tell the founding story because our founders are right here in Utah, very close to here. And they, in 2008, a couple of Utah entrepreneurs trying to figure out their next business and super smart. They were looking at Google searches that were happening. And one of the top searches was, what is Kerry Walsh wearing? So this was during the 2008 Olympics, and she had the tape on her shoulder. She's a volleyball player. She's still active today at 44 years old. I think it's the tape. People were searching, what is Kerry Walsh wearing? So they approached Kerry, I think is the story. And it was kinesiology tape. And they tried to figure out if they could buy whatever this business was. And the founder of the category, he felt like it was only meant for doctors and clinicians to apply. He didn't think people should apply it to themselves. And so the thesis for the founders was, hey, this is something, it's pretty easy to use. We can bring this to consumers so that they can apply it to themselves. And so they brought the idea of self-application under the name of KT Tape, so Kinesiology Therapy Tape. And so they brought it to the U.S., brought it to consumer through retail with a ton of great content on how to apply it to yourself. And really, we're now 85% market share at retail, so dominant in the space. However, now we got to figure out how to sing the gospel to more people. So I think a lot of people look at it and they see it on these top athletes. It's shown up on Tiger Woods and Tom Brady, and we didn't pay for those. They view that as, wow, it's really serious. Do I have to be a serious athlete to use this stuff? And the answer is absolutely no. And so our mission going forward into next year, and part of why I'm here in this new role, is to really explain to consumers what it is, why it works, how to use it. And so we've got a new plan for 2023 to make sure people understand, a broader audience of users like you and me understand that it's for them too.
Yeah, which is great because for those that aren't 18 or 19, They don't know it yet. But eventually, like, you can't run into walls and feel fine.
Yeah, stuff starts to get creaky.
And then nobody likes listening to old people complain about all of their ailments either. So I think that's fantastic. Because if you're avoiding activity because of the pain, it's only going to get worse, right? You'll just get more lethargic. And
I mean, everything from, we have a lot of young people in team sports. In fact, there's a lot of studies showing now that in youth sports, back in my day, you used to dabble and try a little bit of everything. Well, now kids are getting encouraged to specialize. And now that they're specializing, their young bodies are getting beat up even at a young age. And so everything from youth sports all the way up to creaky old people like me that are still trying to hang on to mountain biking at this age. It's an amazing, amazing tool. And it's one of those things that I think there's two camps of people. One, people that have tried it and they've heard the gospel and they live by it. But there's a giant audience of people that we want to talk to about it. And so we actually been doing a ton of work around a new purpose and mission and vision and values. And our new purpose as a brand is to empower movement to unleash every body's potential. So a little double meaning, not just everybody, but every body. And so you'll see we're going to look like a totally new brand next year. So we love our Olympic athletes and all the sports we support, and we'll continue to do that. Also going to start to showcase and talk about and talk to more normal people like us. So every body deserves to try this.
Very cool. Nice play on words.
Yeah. Thank you.
And how long have you been the CEO?
I started on June 20th, so about 4 months. And it's been an amazing whirlwind.
I bet. And it sounds like we'll get into your background, but a lot of this mission and vision and a little bit of like reclassifying what the product does might be why you are the CEO.
Yeah. I mean, I would say over the last couple gigs I've had, one of the things kind of my specialty, I guess I would say, is really rejuvenating brands and really uncovering what was special about those brands to help them re-energize and grow or grow faster. And so done it on a couple different brands now. Two of my favorite stories before KT, one was Bell Helmets. So if you remember Bell Bike and Motorcycle Helmets, started in 1954 in a garage in Southern California. It was this cool brand that was rooted in moto and dirt. And we were action sports before that was a thing, before there was any Red Bull or Dutour. We were sponsoring Evel Knievel and John Tomac, all these classic guys in that space. But over time, as with many businesses, it kind of lost its way. And so it started to become all things to all people. Its distribution got really broad. And through that, it kind of became vanilla. And it had this incredible history. So we went back, mined this history, brought it to the forefront again. The North Star we had that they're still living by today was Live Wide Open. And the idea was to really get back to our roots, which was, again, dirt, moto, BMX. So we canceled our Tour de France sponsorship and really swung the pendulum hard towards those origins. And it just, man, it influenced everything. It positively influenced our culture. It influenced product development and the types of products we were putting out. We did invested in nonprofit organizations like the International Mountain Bike Association, building trails, and just went basically all in on the dirt. And it was scary for the organization. It was scary for the sales guys. But there was really a ton of power in focusing on what made us great at our best. And sure enough, the business grew. We had dominant market share in the mountain bike space. And then we successfully sold the business to what was a Utah company, Vista Outdoor.
Yeah.
That's cool. Cool story.
That is a cool story because I think that rebrand and worked really well because with Bell Helmets, usually like the everyday consumers, I have a few Bell Helmets.
Thank you. Good.
And when you see like the pros using the same thing, it's pretty good.
Yep.
Because usually the weekend warriors are using junk.
Yeah, if you want to protect the noggin. Yeah. Yeah. And then Skull Candy, another local Utah company up the hill. Another great story there. Founded Rick Alden, literally found it while on a chairlift. And his origins was he took a category that at the time was pretty boring. It was brands like Sony that were making black, silver, gray, boring headphones. And he decided he was going to build the company and the brand more like an action sports brand. And so he was the first, you know, headphone brand that really sponsored things like surf, skate, and snow. But again, it went through a lot. A lot of people that live in Utah know the history. They went public, they went private. And so any business, when it goes through that kind of change, has a tendency to lose its way. And so I joined in 2017, and the mission again was to reset. And we went back to, met with Rick, heard his story, really went back to like what made that brand great when it was at its best. And so we took it back there a little bit, back to surf, skate, snow, music, but also from an identity standpoint, took it forward. It kind of had this old like Avril Lavigne skater chick tattoo vibe that wasn't really relevant in 2017, 2018. And so again, reset the brand around action sports, but also began to have a little more mission-driven efforts around sustainability, believe it or not, on a headphone brand and youth mental health, and some really just killer content that put us at the forefront with young consumers. And we darn near doubled the business from 2017 to when I left just a few months ago. So another great story of really a big fan of identifying a company's purpose and really rallying the organization around that. I think a lot of times companies try to do too many things, or they try to be too many things to too many people, and they become nothing to no one. And so that's sort of become my specialty, bringing it back to KT, where we're going through that same process now.
Yeah. And so you've done it a few times, and I think it's purpose-driven. Is that what I've heard a few times?
Yeah. I mean, there's a great we were talking before we started around both book nerds, and one of my favorites is Start With Why, Simon Sinek. I think it's 2004. It goes way back. But really identifying a core purpose for a business and letting that, a lot of times I think companies treat that as a marketing exercise. And if it's treated as only a marketing exercise, it never really works. But if it's deeply embedded in the business for all the employees, if it's embedded in culture with HR, if you let it drive product development, innovation, marketing, it can be a super powerful tool. So KT has been growing and healthy and has been a great business, but it's at that inflection point where we needed to take it to this next chapter. And so that's the reason for the new purpose. And behind that now, we have new innovation coming. We have a totally new brand identity coming in 2023. So you're hearing us refer to it as KT because the company name was previously KT Tape, but you can imagine that's somewhat limiting.
Yeah.
So we're moving to KT, and then that'll allow us to operate both in the core tape business that we're on, but also expand to some of these other categories that we've been participating in, like the pain relief gel and massage products, and also just get a little more contemporary for our next-gen consumer.
Yeah. So how do you do that? You know, you did it at Bell and then Skullcandy. Obviously, it's a team, but you can write it out on a whiteboard. You can have countless PowerPoints, but like it's a pretty big shift in the way you guys are.
Yeah.
How does it work in the real world? Like, how do you communicate
physically?
That?
How do you do it? And great
follow.
Great question. I mean, it's interesting because I've watched, I'm also on the boards of two other for-profit companies who've gone through similar processes. And I've watched it done a ton of different ways. A lot of companies will go out and hire an agency. And in fact, when I went to Bell, they had used an agency and they'd done some nice work. But unfortunately, when it goes external like that, the people inside the building don't quite feel it as much. So it makes it a lot harder to bring it to life. So when I got to Bell, we kind of had to reverse engineer. There had been these great findings and some great ingredients, but we had to reverse engineer a little to get the company rallied around it. The best examples, the way we did it at Skullcandy, the way we're doing it at KT, the way we did it at one of the boards I'm on, is we really, I mean, it really was internal mining of insights, talking to the founders, going back to the beginning, interviewing. I literally met every single person at KT and sat down and had kind of a little interview with them to hear what's going on with the business, what's working well, what's not, what's made you the most proud. And then I literally am such a nerd. So Simon Sinek has the book Start With Why, but he also has kind of a workbook called Find Your Why. And it literally has sort of a step-by-step how to mine some of these insights from your own team. And so we did that. We took, I think, 16 people from KT offsite, locked ourselves in a room, and talked through why is the brand special? What do we do for consumers that makes a difference in their life? And the big thing that came out of it was literally anytime we go to an event or a race, I was just at Chicago Marathon Expo a couple weeks ago, people are lining up to get taped. And then they're walking up and saying, like, you saved my marathon. I'm able to continue playing tennis because of you guys. My, you know, like, they tell all these stories of how we were empowering them to keep doing that thing they were super passionate about. And so that was the kernel that we jumped off of. And then we literally, we talked about our values. We talked about the values that existed and were true today. But we also talked about, hey, there's some things maybe we want to be better at. And so we also talked about some aspirational values. One of those, for example, is we wanted to move faster. And so one of our new values is move first. And we wanted to inspire a faster, greater sense of urgency in the building. And so very internally driven, and then eventually we started to capture it. And instead of hiring a big external agency, we hired my old creative director from Skullcandy. And he and one other guy helped us put it into the exact right words, helped us visualize it. And then we've been slowly but surely rolling it out in the organization. We talk about it at every all hands meeting. We hosted a big fun team building event offsite where we rolled it out, and each of the leadership team talked about what each of the values meant to them. And so it's really happening very organically internally. And at the same time, we're, you know, polishing it up and making it pretty for the external world. And it's literally becoming the words, the values, the purpose. It's so cool because it's like naturally taking hold. And you hear, we're starting to hear people in the building, in meetings, echo these words that we've developed. And it's now shaping and driving our behaviors. And so it was really done totally internally. And I would recommend to anyone that wants to go through this process, do the work first in-house, and then it will stick. It's okay to use an agency once it's time to turn it into a consumer-facing thing, but the hard work, I think, has to be done internally, and then it will stick, and it will become real, and it'll become much deeper than just what sometimes feels like a marketing exercise or a set of values that are pasted up on a wall but not actually lived by the organization.
Interesting. So yeah, you can cram it down people's throats internally or externally, which we've all seen, or it can be organic and collaborative. And it seems like it starts kind of with you three in this example, and then but you're getting all these whys and hows and from the employees, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then is the CFO the most nervous when things are kind of changing?
I mean, our CFO at KT is totally on board. Skullcandy has one of the coolest CFOs ever. I think, you hire to your culture.
Yeah.
So not really. I mean, I think in most cases, why the CFOs are on board is they see, and we talk about, this is not just a marketing thing, and we can show. So we talk purpose, mission, vision, values, but the next phase at KT that informed is, okay, now what categories are we going to participate in? And we had some really hard discussions around what we should or should not participate in. And we actually decided to exit one or two categories that were really smart business decisions supported by the CFO. It also informed what type of consumer are we going to talk to. So we felt like maybe we were talking to too narrow of a consumer group before. And now we're going to cast that net a little wider and talk to more consumers. So we're going to expand the business. So it actually, because it's not just a marketing thing, the CFOs are totally bought in because they can see the power that it provides and the lens it provides for decision making. And so, yeah, I think if you're doing it right, your CFO should be totally on board. The whole exec team, everybody should feel like it's a good filter for strategy and business decisions as well.
Yeah. And as you guys are doing this in the moment, in your previous experience, do you have a general timeline of goals, like we'd like this to be 3 years.
Oh, that's way too long.
Way too long?
I also move way too fast. So, I mean, for me, in each of these cases, it sounds like this should be a process that takes a long time. That's a natural reaction. But I feel like it's one of the most important first steps you can do on a business. So for me, in each instance, I had a great sense of urgency to do it thoughtfully, but do it fast. Because otherwise, then you don't have that frame for decision making. So, I mean, I started June 20th. We've got now a beautiful strategy put together that we are rolling out this week, actually. But we've now locked all of these things: mission, vision, values, a new brand identity, new category decisions, consumer decisions. We've done that basically in 90 days. And we've been out transparently sharing that with all of our retail partners. I've been on a crazy roadshow to 20 different retailers all over the country and in Europe and Canada. So I think you kind of have to go fast. And I think, again, another mistake a lot of businesses make is they swirl too long on it, and they swirl and they swirl and they can't decide and lock. And at some point, you got to lock. You got to lock and go and make decisions. So in my opinion, it's got to be thoughtful, but it's also got to be fast so that you can use it to just march forward.
Yeah. And a retail roadshow. Yeah. What is that like?
So it's been awesome. So we set out, so we had all this good news we wanted to share, all the stuff that I've talked about. We have a bunch of innovation that we've accelerated, new packaging identity. And so we wanted to get out and talk to all of our retailers, or all, you know, top retailers. And so we literally reached out and said, will you see us in person and or virtual? And now that the world's starting to open up, we've actually been able to go and see a lot of them in person. I was in Bentonville last week with our friends at Walmart. And also, they have an incredible mountain bike trail network that I got to test out.
Cool.
In Canada, checking out retail, meeting with customers there. Boots, which is one of the top chemists, pharmacists in the UK. I'm headed to Pittsburgh next week for our friends at Dick's Sporting Goods. And then, you know, anybody that we can't see live, we're hopping on Zoom and really pitching them on this new future for KT. And it's been awesome. We've had like 100% support and excitement about where we're going next. And I strongly believe in it's made a lot of people nervous because we've been showing them a lot kind of early.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people would want to see that all perfected before you go and get in front of your retailers. But these are our most important partners that control our destiny. And we want them to see where it's headed. And we actually kind of wanted them to see it before the cement was totally dry, in case there was something that we were doing that was off base or didn't jive. They could give us that feedback, and we could be kind of open kimono with them. And we could make any adjustments if we needed to before the cement was dry. But it's been kind of 100% love and support, which is amazing. So it's given us this great confidence in moving forward and moving fast.
Very cool. Because ultimately, like, anyone can buy it online, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a big online shopper. It's usually in person. But it kind of boils down to, like, there's only so much space in a Dick's Sporting Goods or any retail store. And so is it kind of in that situation where it's like, hey, look at this cool rebrand, look at the cool new mission, the packaging, whatever it is. Is a little bit of, like, salesy in that, like, we should have the best spot, obviously.
Of course, yes. Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, we'd love more shelf space dedicated to the category. You know, that's our job, to command more space. We're super omni-channel. I mean, probably the most omni-channel business I've been on, because we're in sporting goods, we're in grocery stores in the pharmacy section, we're in pharmacies. We're on Amazon. We have our own .com. We sell to running specialty stores. We sell to chiropractors and physical therapists. So I can't imagine a more omni-channel business than us. But we want to get this product in front of consumers wherever they have the need. And generally, when you determine you have the need, you want it and you want it fast. So we want to be there when the consumer wants the product.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that there's those that have heard the gospel and they're all in, and they're basically free sales reps at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anybody that's used it, it is like, they'll talk about it all day long.
And that is a great ROI.
Yep.
Even if you didn't go to business school, you know that that one's good.
Yep.
So for you guys, is there a visual representation that you'll know if the plan's working? Like if my mom showed up wearing KT tape one day, like, well, their plan worked, right? Is there something that you guys will acknowledge, like, oh, that's sweet, it's working?
I mean, so we own the market, but the market is small. So a big piece of it is knowing that we've grown the pie and that we've grown the size of the kinesiology tape market. So from a metric standpoint, I think seeing it on more people, more bodies on every body. Now I think there is this perception that you have to be a marathoner or a triathlete or an Olympian to wear this stuff. When we see people wearing it in 5Ks, when we see it at the gym more regularly, when we see it on your mom, we will have done more of our job.
Very cool. And there's, for those listening, we've got a KT Tape Pro, and then it's got, for common injuries, a long list, right? Like Achilles tendonitis, tennis elbow, golfer's elbow.
Yep.
Is there one injury that the data shows that people use this for the most?
Knees. Knees and elbows are probably the two biggest. But really, I mean, it can be used for plantar fasciitis, lower back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain. A lot of people use it post-surgery. It really can solve, a lot of ailments. And I think, our job next year is to convince. It seems unbelievable, right? It's a piece of tape.
Yeah.
And it seems unbelievable to people that this could help solve that. But it really works. And it works, again, by increasing blood flow to the area. And that's why literally we'll be at a marathon, for example, and for the people that haven't used it before, we will tape them up. They will walk around the race expo, and they will come back a half an hour later, and they will say, I can already feel it working. And so that's why we want to get tape on bodies. And so we do a lot of events so we can get in front of people and actually tape them up. We have little samples we want to get out to the world. You haven't tried it yet. We're going to send you home. You're going to try it on your elbow, hopefully, and report back. And I think once you do, you'll be convinced and you'll be a repeat customer for us.
And then I'll be evangelizing.
Thank you.
For freezes. Very cool. And then, like you guys don't have a magic wand. Nobody does. What happens when you're off a little bit? What's the decision-making process of, you mentioned there's a few products that you guys opted not to use or go forward with. Probably never fun, but how do you guys as a team decide, oh, that didn't work?
Yeah. I mean, I'm new to KT, but I'll say generally in a product development process, most stage gate or phase gate processes, whether they're formal or informal, it is a funnel. And so generally through the process, you are, you're designing the product, you're testing the product, and hopefully you actually, if you're doing it right and you're talking to consumers and you're working with users, and in our case, we have a sports medicine panel that we'll be working with. Usually you figure out what's working or not working. Hopefully you find out before it ever gets to market. And that's if you're running a great process. Every now and then you find out maybe the consumer didn't adopt it. Sometimes maybe you just didn't communicate it in the right way and the consumer didn't understand the benefits. But if you're doing product development right up front, you're figuring out those issues before anything hits the market. And that's especially for a company like us, which is in the healthcare space. Kinesiology tape is actually a Class 1 medical device. And so we have a lot of hurdles, a lot of the product, this has a drug in it. And so there are also some hurdles like that we need to make sure we're clearing and being smart and getting the right compliance. But if you're doing it right and you're listening to the audience and back to the roadshow, not only listening to your end consumers, but listening to your customers and partners who see brands like us, every day, you're smart enough that you don't have any misses once you launch.
Yeah. It's better for the CFO, too.
Yes. CFO prefers that. Yes.
So with your previous experience, you've worked a lot in the executive suites, CMO. What's it like now to be the CEO and kind of the buck stops with
you. Yeah. Yes. So I'll say I'll rewind a little. In my whole career, I had some great bosses early on that trained me to operate like a mini general manager, I'll call it, where I was always in product development type roles. And when you're in that kind of role, you really have to work cross-functionally with ops and supply chain and finance and everyone to get product moved through the system. So I'd say, first of all, early on, I got some great training around working really cross-functionally. Prior to Skullcandy, too, I was in that GM seat for Bell Helmets and for Camelback. And so I was running those businesses, but I did still have a boss. So there was still a CEO of the company. So I did spend 5.5 years kind of already in the seat, which was great training. It also made me, like, I think a much smarter CMO when I went to be CMO for Skullcandy, because I really think a lot of CMOs get accused of being fairly myopic around marketing, maybe sometimes not being the most fiscally responsible function. But because of that background, I hope that my old CFO would say, you know, we made smart decisions, we were responsible, and I operated with that general manager mindset. So honestly, by the time I got to KT, it didn't feel new to me. The only thing that's really new and different is, you know, the board is my boss now. And so there's a different, there is, as you said, less of a safety net. We have a great board. I have great owners. We're private equity owned. They've been awesome and supportive. But you're right. The big difference was the no safety net. But also, I've been serving as a board member on a couple other boards, and that has been probably the best experience for me moving into the CEO seat, because I'm seeing both sides, seeing what the board expects, seeing what owners expect, and it's really helped me a lot in navigating, you know, my interactions with our board and how that works.
Yeah. Here's a question I've asked a few folks that live on both sides. You're on the board of other organizations, yep, and then you have to report,
yep,
to a board. Do you find that if your board meeting, when you're reporting, you know, that you missed a number here or there, or they're a little displeased, that when you go and you're on the board member side, do you nitpick?
Am I kind? No, I actually feel more empathy than not. Yeah, and it's funny because you, as a board member, I've been talking to the two CEOs of the boards I'm on. One is the Pros Closet, which is a cycling retailer that sells new and refurbished bicycles. Really cool business. And then the other one is a portfolio of outdoor brands under the banner of Gather Outdoors. I have great empathy for them, first of all. And then it's funny as a board member, especially as a new board member, because it was new for me, as you try and figure out your value. And I think a lot of people feel like they got to come into the board meetings and like pick apart the deck and pontificate and drop hard questions, because it's your only chance to talk. And you're generally visiting with each other once a quarter. And so I found my place with these boards is really, I found I can be more helpful behind the scenes generally.
Yeah.
And then I have really great empathy for the two CEOs when we're in those board meetings. And I probably end up not talking that much, honestly.
Yeah. That's great. And then with you guys, with your board, you mentioned private equity owned, like they've got a reputation. I have no idea if it is upheld in this example, but they do have a reputation. What happens as far as like the communication style to them?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've said this phrase once before and somebody laughed and said that has never been said in the history of private equity, but I love private equity. I like it because some people love it, some people hate it. I love it because there's generally a very clear mission, and I've had the good fortune to work with some good ones. So love the guys we're working with. They're great partners. They've been super supportive. I think sometimes what happens often between executive teams and board is they only want to share good news. They don't want to share the bad news. And then, you know, there's less transparency going between the group. And that's where problems happen. I think the best relationships are when you're totally transparent. Like I want them, if they're going to be my partner, I want them to know the good news, the bad news, the neutral news. I don't ever want them to be surprised. And I think if you operate that way, you can have a really great relationship with your board and with your owners and with your private equity group.
So with your guys' plan for like a big new 2023, you communicated that to the board, I would assume.
This Wednesday, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they're gonna know that there's going to be a little bit of a change and new goals and ambitions and things like that.
Yep.
And ideally, they provide value, right? Instead of like shooting ideas down.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a neat board because we've got, I mean, generally with private equity, you have a couple seats of the private equity folks themselves. We have two of the founders still on the board, so they bring some great context and history. And then we have one independent board member who comes from a really strong retail and marketing background. So they each bring something a little different to the table. And so, yeah, so Wednesday, I mean, we've been, when we roll out our strategy to them, again, in the spirit of transparency, it's not going to be a big surprise. We've been sharing the progress along the way. So in fact, it might be a little anticlimactic, which generally I think board meetings should be anticlimactic if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
But we are unveiling, you know, the total picture with the budget attached. And yeah, I think each of them will share perspective if, you know, if we're on track or not in certain areas based on their expertise. But again, if we've been doing our job and laying the groundwork till now, we hope it feels fairly anticlimactic and we're all ready to rock.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I think that's a good indicator of like a good meeting, whether it's like a important board meeting or just like a Monday team meeting. If it's like full of drama, it's probably not well done.
Yeah. I mean, if there's drama and surprises and too much debate, then it's probably not going well.
Yeah. Well, very cool. It's been great having you on the podcast. We could go for a long time yet, but we'll be sure to have you on again, maybe in 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah.
And get an update on how everything's worked out.
Yeah, we'd love to share our progress. We should look like a different brand 6 to 9 months from now.
Very cool. Well, you don't lack any vision. And the frustrating thing with visionaries is oftentimes they can't implement. But kudos to you and your team for doing it fairly quickly. And I'm excited to get this tennis elbow behind me.
Awesome.
And
report back.
Evangelize. There you go. Thank you so much, Jessica. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.
You bet.